expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Being Found Show, your terrestrial radio help for being found in a digital online market. You got to give me a break here while I fix my microphone. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my other host, Jake.
I'm the co-host, yes.
You are the co-host. So the show's all about helping you and your business really gain some traction online. I understand that that can be difficult. Both Jake and I are in the business of doing such, and so we get people calling us, telling us how difficult it is. So
right.
I understand that. And, you know, a lot of people need it. Basically, if you own a business and you're out there and you're not out there, if you're out there but not out there.
If you're out there and not being found where you need to be.
Right.
We're the show for you.
Right. And the question is, you know, if you're not being found, who is? You know, probably your nearest competitor. So, you know, at the beginning of the show here, I figured we'd talk a little bit about the news. It's been kind of a crazy news for tech and business here. You know, the first big thing in the news is there's, as is so often with the news, there is contrasting articles about this topic. And it's basically, this article here is Microsoft calls for regulation on facial recognition software, saying it's just too risky to leave to the tech industry alone, that it's privatized. But on the same side, there are employee protests at Google and Microsoft because, and Amazon, because I forget which one. I think actually Amazon is talking about selling the technology to the government. Maybe that's still ham radio. All right, so you know, when you get to the point of marketing and really who you're paying for, you know, in SEO, this is something that we think about a lot because traffic is important to who you have on your site because, you know, if you get a bunch of traffic that's not interested, they're just going to bounce out of there and Google's going to say this site didn't help anybody. You know, so targeting specific demographics is something that we definitely pay attention to. A great tool, man. Facebook is definitely in the news for collecting information that people don't want, but if you turn around and you're a business owner, it means that you can use that information to target for ads. And for those of you who don't know, you don't get any personal information from people. It's very vague, so it's not like you're collecting that stuff. But here we're talking about generations, and my wife has her bachelor's in sociology. She's all about this stuff. She just kind of sucks it up. And she's reading me this article the other day about Generation Z as we're talking about our kids. And Generation Z is really the newest generation that's entering the workforce. You know, everybody thinks it's millennials. But so Generation Z is born in or after 1995, so they wouldn't be any older than 23 right now. A millennial is a person reaching young adulthood in the early 21st century. So you could be born in 1980 and you'd be a millennial because you'd be 20 at the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is what this is a hot topic around my group of friends. They'll just be all like, oh, that's not a millennial. This is a millennial. It's like, it's like the discussion about like, where does Northern California start?
Right. Right.
You know, is San Francisco Northern California?
Depends on
what about San Jose? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so millennials, are digital natives, where Generation Z is really what's now kind of a cloud native. So a digital native grew up with the internet, grew up in the digital age. These new people are growing up in a world of the digital age, but with the cloud. For those of you who don't know what the cloud is, good luck. Have lots of discussions with family members trying to explain to them what the cloud is. And it's really not that hard. What the cloud is you remember before when you download an MP3 or something and you had it on your phone. That's not the cloud. When you download an MP3 and it's now stored on your Google Drive and you can listen to it from any device, that's the cloud. It basically means that your information is stored somewhere that you can get it from any device by going online. Mm-hmm. That's all. So I found a lot of these statistics really, really sort of interesting. So most, I don't know. There's just so much trash talk about millennials, so I'm not really sure how to, you know, address it. But I don't think millennials deserve all the trash that they get because this is their world. You know, we're, everybody can talk about how, like, this, that, and the other thing sucks, but I'm going to be dead someday, and the world's going to be full of millennials, you know, so we kind of got to give them a break here.
I should say thank you. I'm quite clearly a millennial, no matter which way you shake it.
You're a millennial?
Oh, yeah. 85.
85? You yeah. are a millennial.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I know.
So you appreciate these things I'm saying about you, Jake?
I appreciate the fact that you don't outright dislike me.
I am Generation X, which is like straight up the snarkiest, rudest, most dissatisfied of generations. But we'll get into that on a different show. So here's the difference between Generation Z and millennials. Run it down. Think about these things when you're marketing. You know, I'm not saying think about it just to market towards Generation Z. You know, you'd have to have a pretty specific product set to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about your demographics while doing that. So Generation Z and millennials, the average hours a week that Gen Z uses a smartphone is 15.4, and millennials is 14.8. So a little bit more for Generation Z.
Mm-hmm.
The average time on a desktop for Gen Z, 10.6. For millennials, 16.4. There's a big gap there, big drop. TV is down for Generation Z about an hour and a half, you know, so I'm really not surprised by that stuff. But if you look at it, the average, so television usage, this market where we've been doing our advertisement, where it's really kind of turning into the phone book of, mm-hmm. of media entertainment, because like baby boomers are watching 24 hours a week on the average, Generation Z 13, you know?
Yeah.
So it is just, like, literally dropping drastically.
And if you didn't catch that, also, smartphone usage is 50% higher than laptop usage among Gen Z. So if you don't already have a mobile-ready site, get
there. Oh, yeah. More than half the traffic. We passed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than half of the traffic coming to your website is from mobile devices. Mm-hmm. So, I'll digress here a little bit, and you might be saying, well, what does that mean for me as long as my stuff's there? People calling you from a mobile device are looking for something different. And if you're having a hard time wrapping your brain around that, here is my explanation. If I'm sitting at home on my couch and I look up a tow truck, chances are I have some beater in my yard. I'm thinking about getting rid of it. A friend called me, need some help, mm-hmm. blah, 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 something non-time sensitive. If I'm looking up tow truck from a phone, chances are I need a tow truck now.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's just a really good example of the different intentions that people are having when they search from a different device, you know. All right, so Generation Z and millennials. No surprise, Facebook is down. I'm not surprised about that. Facebook has been going down with regular usage, but it's by far not dead because people are still using it to create accounts. I'm guessing all these Gen Zs still have Facebook accounts,
mm-hmm.
and Facebook, just like everybody else, is learning to market people in different ways off of their site, you know, pixel tracking and stuff like that.
Yeah, what's a little bit interesting, I don't see any of the ones that they're going to as having an outstanding lead. I mean, Facebook has an outstanding lead in the social media market area. And the young kids who are switching over, there's five or six that they're switching to, and none of them have a commanding lead. Each one does a different function.
Right,
and they seem to be sharing that.
Right, yeah, they do. And that's kind of weird that, You know, a prime example of the shift in the way that people think is that maybe 10 years ago, we were all looking for an app that had it all. We were all looking for a website mm-hmm. that had it all. Can we put it all in there? And really, a lot of these things, with Facebook being down, Instagram is up. Snapchat is up. You know, I'm not even sure why Vine's on here, but YouTube is up. Google Plus is down. That's not shocking. And then Twitter is running about the same. So what we're really seeing here is that instead of people wanting one app that does everything, they really like their little specified stuff, mm-hmm. you know. And the world kind of went back that way, you know. Music is a great comparison for this. I guess I used music last segment, but I'm going to use it again. If you look at music and it's sort of like underground versus corporate, now in the world of the internet, it might be a little bit different. But if you look historically, it tended to go like sort of corporate sales, and then people had enough, and it went way underground. And then corporate sales, people had enough, and it went like way underground. So you know, you had punk, and then you had like 80s hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Backstreet Boys, and then you had like Nirvana. So you were getting like this sort of wave of, we've had enough of that. Everybody rebels against the previous generation,
yeah,
so I'm sure that's a factor, you know. So we might see the Everything app come back around.
Maybe.
The Everything app. Millennials and Gen Z are actively avoiding ads. Young men in particular are early adopters of ad-blocking software, which has 45 million users in the U.S., 41% increase in the past 12 months, and 15% market penetration. I am not surprised that these millennials, as they are tech-savvy, plus, you know, throughout my life, my kids are millennials. They're not Gen Z, but a lot of my ad-blocking skills have come from my kids,
mm-hmm.
basically coming in as I'm listening to Pandora, and they're just like, why are you listening to ads? And I'm all like, what?
Yeah. I think part of that is just we were raised before ad blocker. Mm-hmm. So it's like, no, that's just the way it is.
Right.
I mean, no one ever complained about commercials 20 years ago on TV. That's just the way it was.
Totally. And for those of you wondering why young men are better at blocking ads than young women, well, you can go ahead and use your imagination on that. All right. So, you know, hopefully this sort of gives you a little bit of insight into the fact that these generations are all very different from one another. Your product applies to one of them. Your service applies to one or several of them. And make sure you're not marketing to people who are not buying your stuff. You're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of The Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about business and helping your small and medium-sized business get found on the web better. Because hopefully you're already somewhat involved with that. And if you're not somewhat involved with that, congratulations for being in business. It's really impressive. You know, it really is. You know, for a business to survive now and to have any sort of, like, growth, sustainability, mm-hmm. or reliability to not be online, I'd be really impressed.
Well, I mean, I think over the last 15 to 20 years, a lot of businesses have depended on, you know, there's still a lot of word of mouth. They've got a good reputation.
Oh, that's true. They have their client lists from, you know, previous.
Yeah, but you won't see up-and-comers making it the way they're able to survive.
Yeah.
And you won't see that happening for another 20 years like
that's
it has
true,
been.
Yeah. And so that's actually kind of what we wanted. Jake and I were talking this week about covering, you know, the online marketing process from start to finish. And, like, where do we start with this? You know, like, how do you start with this? Do you start by discussing the phone call? Do you start by this? So I was sort of thinking you need to start with getting the right mindset, mm-hmm. of really sort of understanding what a growing business is. And my buddy Steve Marsh, he does this sort of like business coaching for carpet cleaners. And so he was a successful carpet cleaner and a single truck carpet cleaner. And so later he started doing marketing, and he has hundreds of clients around the country that he helps market their single truck carpet cleaning businesses. Mm-hmm. And he says that any small business that's sort of growing is basically split into four divisions. You got strategy, operations, business, and customers. So strategy would be sort of your plans and who you are. Operations would be the day-to-day tasks. Business would be, you know, making sure that the structure is in place, that you pay your bills and you do all that stuff. And customers would be gaining new customers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he says that the number one thing that he sees small and medium-sized business do is concentrate so heavily on operations.
Mm-hmm.
Because operations is an easily quantifiable number. I do the work. I get the money.
Yep.
You know, and I understand that bottom line, we all need to do the work and get the money or there's no pants for our children, you know. That's the one I've been using over the years because, you know, when my kid was a baby, you know, you get free pants. And then diapers, diapers are expensive. And then they get older, and they, like, literally pants is like an awesome gauge of, like, how expensive kids can get over time. Because now my daughter's pants collection is, you know, she might have six pairs of pants in there, and it's probably worth $400 in pants.
Yeah, I'm still in the diaper phase, so.
Well, you'll grow out of
you're
it,
not
Jake.
For my kids.
Right. All right, so, you know, really the goal of the mindset here is to take a little bit of time out of your day and bring yourself out of just thinking about operations. And I know it's hard. You get tired at the end of the day, you know, especially if you're doing something physical or you're doing something where you're on your feet all day long. Or if you're like me and you do something where you think all day long, you know, there comes a point where I'm just all, nope, brain is not thinking of nothing. It like goes on strike, you know, it's just not going to happen. So if you can carve out a little bit of time where you have some ability to think outside of operations. And so how does one really think outside of operations? I would say focus on strategy and customers. Chances are your business aspect is doing good. You have some sort of foundation because that tends to be sucked up into operations. Mm-hmm. You know, I do the billing. I collect the bill. You know, that's kind of sucked up in there in the money. The part that gets abstract is when you're thinking about strategy and you're thinking about new customers. That's when you need your brain to be able to get a little bit of strategy. You know, so for what Jake and I do, you know, you're building a website, you're doing some SEO, you're ordering things, you're all of these things. Strategy, I kind of summed up for myself as saving clicks. You know, like I'm going to build this website and it's going to take me 100 clicks of my mouse. But if I can figure out how to get it done in 50 clicks, I can build two websites because a click takes an amount of time. You know, a click is a second, a click is a minute, a click is an hour, you know. And so strategy is squashing up that time so that your time can be used more effectively, allowing you to effectively use that time on more customers. Joe, this show's granddaddy, enlightened me to the term, you know, it's really those terms that are just like so stupid that really stick with you because you hear those terms and you go like, oh God, why didn't I think of that, you know? And he enlightened me to the term, I don't think he coined it, but trading dollars for hours. Or trading hours for dollars. And there's only so many hours in a day, and therefore there are only so many dollars. And, you know, Joe, being the big thinker that he is, wants to move away from dollars for hours entirely. Me, being the worker bee that I am, took that a little bit more as efficiency. If I can make my hours more effective and really get, you know, I always come back to Bruce Lee, his conservation of energy, you know, why block when your block can also be a strike, you know, the most amount of things done with one yeah. move. And yeah. so the more you can really apply that, but you have to be able to think in order to do that. So if you can carve out a little bit of that, and then once you have that extra time, that's where your extra customers go. So it's like if you're sitting there going right now, I'm totally full and I can't do any more. Well, look at your money that you're bringing in every month, and that is the amount of money that you're going to make for the rest of your life at best. You know, unless you think about strategy as a business owner and customers, you know, and if you're saying to yourself, I can't take it on anymore, well, then you just, you hit the escape velocity, you know.
Yeah, and I think the two things you mentioned, the way Joe thinks and the way you think, they're pretty much exactly the same, but for the point where you say, well, you know, I'm completely strapped, even with all the strategies, this is the max, and then you hire someone else to take over that, and then you hire someone else to take over that. So that's kind of like, I mean, it's a continuum, but you kind of have to make the choice, do I want to scale up from here, or am I satisfied with the fact that I'm a pretty efficient guy right now?
Right, the funny thing about Joe is, like, he's all about providing his clients with no-risk marketing situations, but he does this while taking risk himself, you know? So it's like he alleviates his clients of having to take risk by taking his own risks because, like, he and I, it's like, I could use an employee right now, but until I have the capital to get the employee, I don't know if I could do it, but Joe would do it, and he would make it happen, you know, so... You know, I'm kind of impressed by that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess the message out there is be like Joe. You know,
I should add one more thing. So Joe suggested a book for reading, and if you're at that point in your business where you're at the point where you can't really come up with a better strategy, you're kind of plateauing, check out the book Mastering the Rockefeller Habits by a guy named Vern Harnish. And he kind of outlines a really pragmatic set of tools that you can use to scale up your business. And it's an outstanding book. Check it out.
Yeah, we were talking about it in the meeting the other day, and I made a note of it, and I forgot to get my hands on a copy. I might do that because I want to be a part of the conversation.
It's a four-hour audiobook, so it's brief.
Oh, that is brief. So really that's where you need to start. Are you in the mindset that you are going to grow your business? Are you in the mindset that, you know, a lot of people want to hire their marketer and say, I don't know, just do it for me while I go do this work? No. You have to be a little bit involved. You don't have to be hugely involved. But the more efficiently you're involved, the better. So get yourself in the mindset that you're going to start thinking a little bit about strategy. Strategy is how more effectively can I do my job in order to free up some time. And that you're going to start thinking about customers, and that is, how am I going to get more customers in? You're listening to the Being Found Show. Come on back, and we're going to talk about a couple of tools with getting started as well.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new vines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. My tuber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo return this August to Redding's Cascade Theater. These two are still rocking after 39 years together. Four-time Grammy winners Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo bring their band and their hits to the Cascade August 6th. Get tickets and limited VIP passes today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to the Being Found Show. We are talking about not only businesses and helping businesses find an online buying market, but specifically we're talking about getting started with the right mindset for your marketing process. And so whenever we talk about a marketing process or some sort of specific task, it's good to follow it up with some tools. And I sort of made a little list here, but Jake, what if... if somebody were starting a business, what would be the first tool? Or if you were starting a business, and I'm not talking marketing, I guess it might be marketing and business, but any kind of business, mm-hmm. what would be the first tool that you suggested to them?
Easily Google Analytics and Google Webmaster. One, they're free.
They are free.
Two, you may not understand everything right off the bat, but you definitely want to have that historic collection of analytics on the website for when you do figure out how to read
right.
what Google's telling you.
Right. Collecting the data so that you can historically look back at it.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to know how to understand it now, but in the future you have to have something to look at.
And yes, and it's so comprehensive that if you decide to get maybe a paid tool down the road, they're going to use that data probably. They're going to ask to hook up to that because Google's, they're just a very capable data collection company.
Right, and easily the largest search engine.
Oh, yeah.
By and large, yeah. You know, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
No?
Given all the project, I agree with you. I totally agree with you, and it was on my short list here as well. I thought you were maybe going to say Trello doing all the, or some sort of project management
yeah.
software so that you can track all your stuff.
Mm.
You know, that's where I thought you were going to go.
You know, that's an important one, too. I went marketing and not project management. But, mm-hmm. yeah, Trello is another great tool. I mean, it lets you set up a little checklist, and you get to move your cards down as you complete your tasks.
Yeah, we've talked about it here on the show, and I think I referred to it as fun. You know, I mean, it's as fun as project management can be. You know, you're
yeah.
dragging your thing around, changing some colors, you know, I mean.
And it's simple. It's like a felt board simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes it so effective, I think.
Yeah. So here on my short list, of course, I had analytics, and for precisely that reason. The reason why I was thinking maybe not on the analytics was, and don't get me wrong, when I say maybe not, I mean as the first tool that I give to people. Yes, if you have a website, you need to have analytics on there, probably prior to launching it.
Yeah.
Was because it can be so complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is, There are people out there with whole careers making six figures that really couldn't tell you how to fix your computer at all, but they know analytics like nobody's business,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it can be very complex, but if you learn the little simple things, you can really find some important stuff there to help your business and to sort of see how well you're doing. So when you do hire a marketing company, you can say, all right, well, we're doing good here. You know, and that was the tool that I also came up here on my short list was Bright Local.
Yep.
Because Bright Local is inexpensive. I think I have the second tier Bright Local account. I think I pay like $35 a month, so I think it's probably about $20 for somebody who's just doing one to three locations or something like that. You know, of course, I'm pumping my clients through there, so I'm paying the next level up.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really gives you as a business owner is you put in your keywords, and it tells you where you're showing up. And that's absolutely great. It's a simple, quantifiable number. The problem with that, I think, is that in the long run, businesses enjoy that simple, quantifiable number, and they become too dependent on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start to see that drop, but they don't understand that in their analytics, their time and conversion and traffic is all up. But just because the one word that they were hoping to rank for isn't ranking, you know, they're not really understanding that we're not trying to rank for a word. We're trying to rank for whatever people are searching for to get to us.
Yeah, to use any tool in a vacuum could be dangerous.
Right.
You should definitely consider it with other tools.
Right. So the tool that I came up with as being my number one tool that I would suggest any business owner get in the beginning is a whiteboard. I know it's not very fancy, and I know it's not very technological, but I would say a dry erase whiteboard.
Yeah.
They are invaluable, and they are constant reminders of what needs to be done
yeah.
and what you should be doing. So what you need to do is get yourself a whiteboard, and at the top of it, write, stop thinking about only operations.
That's right.
And then you will have fulfilled this whole segment here, you know. A whiteboard is like a place for you to brainstorm. And really, that's kind of what you need to be doing. So down one side, you put the tasks you need done for that day, because you got to be realistic. Days have to get tasks done. I got a big mm-hmm. list of it when I get home. I'm supposed to be figuring out something with JavaScript I have no idea how to do, but I can guarantee by the end of the day I will, because it's on my whiteboard.
Yeah.
You know. But on the other side, give yourself some space to dream, you know. I don't know if you remember, but back when you started your business, you had some dreams about success.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't so beaten down by the day-to-day operations and, you know, the ankle biters that are running around everybody's feet. You know, you had some dreams. Those dreams are still there, and those dreams are viable. You just need to put aside a little bit of time in order to pursue them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What are some other tools, you know, people would need to track their, like CRM, you know, might be good for yeah. some types of businesses. You know, it really kind of comes down to what types of businesses you are. Service-based business, CRMs can be very important.
You know? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But a product-based business, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, a CRM is still important, but a product is a little less based on the interaction.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
I think we've brought this up in the show before, but if you're a product-based business, considering a tool like MailChimp to create a mailing campaign, tracking whether or not people are abandoning their carts.
Right. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you talked about this a couple of shows back, and
yeah.
I really kind of was a little bit blown away. So basically you're connecting your, I don't know, it's about to get techie here. You're connecting your API to MailChimp so that they're seeing what the interaction is from your registered users.
Yeah, and just so everyone's aware, I'm the least techie person in my industry. And what an API key is basically a secret code that connects one thing to another. So no one can steal it.
That was very techie, Jake.
Was it?
I don't know.
I just said secret code, like secret I'm in World code. War Two.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. That's funny. All right, so today we ran over some news. We ran over those crazy millennials, or the new millennials known as Generation Z. What's going to come next? Or is that full? Is that for full circle? Are we going
yeah,
generation?
If we're going with spreadsheets. I think AA is next.
AA so. Is next. You know, there was a Dr. Seuss book about the letters of the alphabet beyond Z, and I remember it was one of my favorites as a kid. And about the marketing process, you know, you've been listening to the Being Found show. Thank you for checking us out. Check us out online at beingfound.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
With the changing of seasons, maybe it's time for a change for your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to discover River Point. River Point, by Redding's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is located in South Redding. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees featuring RV parking, energy efficiency, exceptional interior and exterior features. And just wait until you see the kitchens. Designer kitchens, Palomar Builders has spared no expense in the room you spend much of your time in. They feature granite countertops plus many other quality amenities and your stylish master suite. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing. Discover River Point in South Reading by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. So make plans to come see the beautiful model home at River Point in South Reading. For more information, contact Debbie Morgan, Coldwell Banker, CNC Properties at 604-2127. River Point in South Reading with Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
Please join us in sending Christmas in July to our troops. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. Now through August 1st, you can make a donation that will be packaged and sent to our active duty personnel and troops deployed overseas. Please call the Veterans Museum at 378-2280 or drop your items off Thursday and Friday from 10 to 2 at 2110 North Street in Anderson. Thank you for helping us support our troops this summer and all year long. We'd also like to remind you that the Iron Soldier Benefit Ride is October 7th. If you'd like to be a sponsor for the ride, get more information from Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo. Call Steve at 275-7300. That's 275-7300. Or go to rysonline.com. Thank you for your support of our servicemen and women.
This message being aired as a public service to the community by Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, and coming soon to 96.5 FM.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
How do you imagine your dream home? Open spaces as far as the eye can see? Waking up to a view of the beautiful surrounding mountains and a quiet neighborhood that's not too far from town? Northwest Homes is here to help your dream become a reality. We have new homes available today, ready to move into on the rolling hills in West Anderson. These Skyview estates are minutes from everything but feel miles away. Or if you're looking for something unique, custom, and quality built to customer desire and request, Northwest Homes is available to suit your personal taste on your lot or one of theirs. Check out your dream home at northwest-homes.com if you're looking for undisputable quality in a home you can be proud of. Northwest Homes is your first choice.
Give Northwest Homes a call, 247-0441.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868. 68.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump used his weekly media message to remind the country that ICE came into being in the direct aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, and he says he'll always support the agency.
One of the critical lessons of 9/11 is that immigration enforcement saves lives. We must enforce the rules against visa fraud, illegal overstay, illegal entry, and other immigration violations and crimes.
The president noting in his weekly radio address that leading Democrats are trying to abolish ICE altogether. It's a move, he says, would lead to more crime and put American lives at risk. In Indianapolis last night,
you are the laughter.
Hundreds of people filled a church for funeral services for four of the nine Indiana family members killed when that tourist boat sank on a Missouri lake. Among those attending, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb. Across Russia today, tens of thousands of demonstrators rallied throughout the country to protest plans to substantially hike the age at which Russian men and women can receive their state retirement benefits. Here are the details from correspondent Zara Shacklin.
A crowd estimated at more than 10,000 attended a protest in Moscow that was called by the Communist Party. A similarly large crowd gathered in Yekaterinburg to protest, and demonstrations also were reported in large cities, including Rostov-on-Don and Volgograd. Russia's lower house of parliament, the Duma, has given its first reading approval to a measure that would gradually raise the pension ages from 60 to 65 for men and from 55 to 63 for women. Protesters have called for a national referendum to be held on the issue before the parliament considers further readings of the bill. I'm Zaria Shakli.
A man has been arrested, suspected of setting several wildfires near Los Angeles, nine fires in all. Meanwhile, farther to the north, the Carr Fire has destroyed more than 500 homes. More from townhall.com.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group. You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
Want to learn more about getting rid of your troublesome timeshare? Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation. Call 800-786-9300. That's 800-786-9300. 800-786-9300.
President Trump excited about the latest GDP numbers that came out yesterday for the second quarter of the year. In fact, he's promising that those good reports are going to keep coming.
Standing on the South Lawn Friday, the president applauded the latest GDP numbers, the biggest economic surge since 2014.
We've accomplished an economic turnaround of historic proportions.
Some analysts may not agree with that claim, but Mr. Trump is presiding over a strong economy. He says the growth is sustainable and predicts there's more to come.
As the trade deals come in one by one, we're going to go a lot higher than these numbers.
Greg Clugston, Washington.
Facebook and Washington State have reached a legally binding agreement that requires the tech giant to stop enabling advertisers to unlawfully discriminate in who sees their ads. The agreement filed in state court in Seattle on Tuesday requires Facebook to remove the exclusionary categories for a number of ads. More on these stories at townhall.com. The return of American remains from the Korean War by North Korea signals a positive first step in President Trump's diplomacy with Pyongyang, and it also may restart efforts to send U.S. teams into the country to search for additional war dead. A U.S. military plane made a rare trip into North Korea to retrieve those 55 cases of remains. A utility says it's dropping plans for a massive energy project in a state known for its windy plains. In fact, the 2,000-megawatt wind catcher farm was supposed to be built in Oklahoma. Well known for its strong winds, it would have been the largest wind farm in the country. And what better place for it? However, regulators in Texas said they were ruling against it this week, and that shut the project down. It had already been approved in Louisiana and Arkansas. Those states were going to receive some of the power created by all that wind. More details at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. My co-host, Sean, is not here today. Let's see. He was raptured, but I'm sure he'll be back next week when God figures out he made a horrible mistake. Actually, I think he's at a wedding. I'm guessing it's a last-minute wedding. Statistically, I'm not sure if those are the best ones, but I have to say my wife and I only dated for a year and a half, and we got married in a casino in Tahoe, and here we are 14 years later, so it appears that it has worked out. So tonight's show, we have our guest, Raven Sidsmansky, and we're going to be talking about aliens and gray aliens and Wright-Patterson Air Force, but first off, I want to talk about The Happening. I'm a horror movie fanatic, and I don't know if you've seen the movie The Happening, but The Happening is basically about a bunch of people that just start to go crazy and so on and so forth. And I'm really starting to think that The Happening is happening right here, right now, in our world. The town that I live in, Redding, California, the crime rates have just, like, spiked. Now, I'm sure everybody listening has their opinions about how it needs to be taken care of. You know, half of you are out there going, well, we need drug rehab, and the other half are out there going, we need more beds in the jail, and some people are out there going, we need both of those things. And I get that, but that's, I'm just talking about the potential paranormal aspects of this, because it is just wild. So my wife is going to work today, and she gets there brutally early, and she runs out and visits a family and then is pulling back up, and she comes pulling up behind a cop car in front of her work, and she looks out in front of her, and she sees that the cop is standing there with a gun pointed at a guy, and she immediately pops it into reverse and gets out of there as fast as she can, you know, because she's smart like that. Well, anybody local here knows that the cops shot that guy, and that guy is now in the hospital. So the happening aspects of this are 10 in the morning. This guy is on a crime spree throughout town where he is, like, beating up people and robbing people and robbing their homes. So here's the first happening part. I remember the good old days when, you know, crime slept in. You know, what happened to that? What happened to staying up all night committing crime and then, you know, catching your Z's? You know, are they just staying up 24/7? Is this like is this meth-induced? I don't know. It's crazy. And then on top of that, the other happening part about this is, as my wife is reversing to get the heck out of there because she doesn't want to be anywhere around gunshots and craziness, there are throngs of people in the local neighborhood who are rushing out there, taking their dogs on this immediate walk, you know, to because they're all looking to rubberneck at the crazy shooting. And so it's like, so here's this crazy guy who's like robbing people at 10 in the morning. Here's a neighborhood of people who want to hop out there and check out the activity that's going on with cops. You know, my initial thought is if cops are going on, I want to go the other way because I'm looking to take life kind of easy. You know, I don't really get endorphin high off of that sort of thing. So there's a bunch of craziness right there. And then my wife goes about her day. She finally calms down. She comes pulling into our apartment complex. And our apartment complex is now totally blocked off by cops as she's getting home. Because down the way, some guy didn't like, I guess, how the air conditioning man showed up to fix his air conditioning. And he threatened him with a BB gun. At which point the air conditioning man has a concealed carry and he pulls out a real gun. And there is a BB gun, real gun standoff in my family apartment complex. And there are like 15 cops that have pulled up for that. So, why does life change like this so much? Now, I understand that there's always been a percentage of people who are causing these problems. But we have to ask ourselves, when the amount of people goes up so high that are doing these things, there must be some sort of outside influence or some sort of de-evolution going on. You know, maybe it's like all my movie reference, it's like Altered States, that movie where William Hurt sits in the sensory deprivation container for so long that he turns into a monkey and terrorizes San Francisco. It's a good flick. Not really. It's not really that good, but, you know, it's worth a watch. But, you know, why are so many people just crazy? Is it the desperacy of the situation? You know, I really don't know. I just thought it was a really sort of interesting day for my wife. And it's funny because this weekend we always talk about how we're thinking about moving out of Reading. And then this weekend she's all, well, maybe we should stay here. You know, it's not bad. We can buy a house. The prices are reasonable. And then she says, it always seems like as soon as I start to think this, the world just goes crazy the next day and there are all sorts of stuff. And then to boot on top of that, basically the entire region is on fire. And if you look at the local news, they actually have superimposed fire behind the weatherman as he is pointing out all the fires in the area. So it's a crazy world out there. The happening is happening. But you've come to the right place. You're listening to Radio Wasteland, and you're going to get a break from all of this with our guest, Raymond Szymanski, definitely the leading expert on extraterrestrials and their involvement in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and the author of a recent book. I can't believe I forgot the name of this book because it's so funny. Oh, yeah. 50 Shades of Greys. That's plural. Gray aliens. They're not being romantic. They're up to something. So you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for our guest, Raymond Szymanski.
I had none. I fought for love. Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting, and Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for, and then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo return this August to Reading's Cascade Theater. These two are still rocking after 39 years together. Four-time Grammy winners Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo bring their band and their hits to the Cascade August 6th. Get tickets and limited VIP passes today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Raymond Szymanski. Raymond, do we have you there with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this evening?
Absolutely awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you very much for being on. You have a lot going on here, so I'm just going to hop right into it, and we'll cut right to your book, if that's all right. I got to say, the name is very catchy, very fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, when I heard it, I'm just all, that is a great name. I can't believe, you know, I didn't think of it. It is just a lot of fun. So what is the book about, 50 Shades of Grays, and about the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. One of the enforcers, a name that a lot of your audience will recognize, Nick Pope, he says that 50 Shades of Grey is a fun and informative book that's part UFO expose and part travel guide. So that's kind of the top level. Then he goes on to say, it's written in a gonzo style, and I tour the world researching iconic UFO sightings. I meet a colorful cast of characters, experts, and enthusiasts along the way. But my four-decade career as an engineer at Wright-Patterson, where many believe that aliens crashed with their spaceships and they're stored there, and his exciting new evidence will doubtless start a few conspiracy theories. That's right from Nick Pope. So it's a UFO expose, it's a travel adventure, and it's really my quest for the truth about rumors that I heard over four decades while I worked as an engineer at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Really? So what are some of these rumors that we heard? You know, what do we think maybe went on there?
Well, it all started in January of 1973 when I was a young co-op student from the University of Detroit. And I was assigned a mentor who at that time was probably a mid-level engineer, maybe a GS, which stands for General Schedule. He was a GS 11. And he said, hey, look, at on the other side of the building, and it was two business office buildings, two stories apiece, separated by about a 200-foot empty airplane hangar. So he said, let's cut through the hangar. Going to get a candy bar, show you where the greasy spoon is at. I said, fine. So as soon as we go down this little ramp and we hit the floor of the hangar, he goes, have you heard about our aliens?
That's enough to pique my interest.
I'm a young co-op engineering student from the University of Detroit. I have no idea what he's talking about. So he goes on to tell me after I question him that 1947, there was a crash outside Roswell, the wreckage. He called it the machine. The aliens and their machine were brought to Wright-Patterson for evaluation and possible exploitation. And basically, all that good stuff was kept in a tunnel somewhere. So that was my baptism. That was my alien baptism back in 1973.
So up until this came up, you had no involvement or really thoughts about aliens up until this point, right?
The total amount of knowledge I had about aliens was zero at that point. It was a complete shock. I didn't even know what he meant when he said the word alien. So that's 1973, and I eventually come to find out, because as I meet people and I trust them a little bit, I come to find out that there was this thing called Project Blue Book, which was hosted at Wright-Patterson. And I'm sure your listeners are aware with Blue Book. If not, it basically was about a 22-year, supposedly an investigative effort conducted by the Air Force. They received over 12,000 UFO reports, and they went out to try to figure out what was going on. And the entire base population, I soon found out, was very well aware of Project Blue Book and the fact that it was hosted at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and what it was all about. So aliens and UFOs and Project Blue Book was pretty much not a secret at Wright-Patterson.
You know, I find that, like, you know, shocking that the government wouldn't be keeping a serious lid on it or threatening people or having them, you know, certain clearance, you know. So were you led to believe that these remains of either the alien or the craft were still at Wright-Patterson during 1973?
Most definitely. I talked to probably – I was there for, I think, a three-month period starting in January of 73. And I talked to, again, as I said, different people that I learned to trust and, you know, thought would give me the straight scoop, or I'd come in kind of like real shy and, hey, you know, I got a question for you. Everyone seemed to be aware of Blue Book, and it seemed to be just accepted that part of Wright-Patterson's heritage was the fact that the material and the aliens were brought to Wright-Patterson for evaluation. Now, what's interesting is it wasn't until about 5 years later, about 1978, that Jesse Marcel and Stanton Friedman got put together through some friends of Marcel and Friedman doing some research. And in a taped interview, Jesse Marcel, he said, look it, I went out to the Foster Ranch after Matt Brazel had brought the stuff in. I was directed by the base commander, Colonel Blanchard, to go out there with another intelligence officer, and we picked up this material. We examined it. We brought it back to the base, and I'm here to tell you, you know, on this taped interview, that what we recovered was not of this planet, and secondarily, it did go to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So whatever the stuff was went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now, as far as the alien part is concerned, I quite honestly don't know when that part of the story got added to the Roswell story, because in all the interviews and all the research I've ever done on Jesse Marcel, and again, he was the intelligence officer that was sent by the Roswell base commander to go that, you know, 80 miles north of Roswell and pick up the actual wreckage from the Foster Ranch, he never once mentioned alien bodies.
I see. Was there any implication as to what the material was? Was it ever described to us in any sort of fashion?
Well, the material has been described by many witnesses over the decades. The early descriptions were, we took, in fact, Jesse Marcel himself, Major Marcel, said that we could not cut it, we could not burn it, we could not dent it, we would crumble it up and it would return pretty much to the shape from whence it came. Now, if you think about the explanation of the Air Force in all of their 900-page explanations, they claim that it was a weather balloon. But it turns out that if one were to take the material from those type of weather balloons and put a match to it or a knife to it or other instruments of destruction that were laid upon it in 1947, that material would quickly disappear, catch fire, melt, etc. So there is no way that the material that Major Marcel described as early as 1978 could have been material from a weather balloon. It's just not possible because they, you know, conducted some preliminary Rube Goldberg test on it with matches and knives and a sledgehammer, and nothing seemed to affect the material. And I dare say that if you look at the material chemically that is associated with the Mogul weather balloon explanation given by the Air Force, that dog don't hunt.
Right, but something affected the material because that thing crashed and we got a piece of it, right?
Yeah, and you know, would you like me to speculate on that?
Yeah, I would. We got about 3 minutes until we go to commercial break, so I'd love to hear it, yeah.
Great. You know, the missile range there, very close by to Roswell, had high-powered radars. They were doing testing on it. They were doing telemetry on missiles, that type of thing. Imagine for a minute that, you know, these spacecraft, two of them, are traveling at, you know, unknown speeds, 30,000 miles an hour, and one of these radars gives it a little pulse that shuts down their navigation for just a second. Well, at 30,000 miles an hour, you're going to travel a great distance. And if there were more than one craft in the area, and I believe there were, maybe they had a collision. You know, the unstoppable force meets the immovable object kind of thing. They're both of the same material, and bam, they get a gash in it, they get a hole. So
right, yeah, that's like the speed of a rail gun or something.
Yeah, well, plus, not a rail gun. I'm just saying, all you need to do is disturb the navigational
I meant that the
system.
That the ship was moving at like the speed of a rail gun, like in order for it to hit something, exactly. We're looking at like catastrophic speeds.
Yes, I apologize, I didn't hear that. So it's very possible that these two objects, which were very sturdy against anything that we had, were 50-50 against a similar object. And I think that's a really good possibility of what happened. And maybe even this New Mexico lightning put enough EMF into the sky that all you have to do is shut it down for a second. And if these things are traveling and, you know, they bump into each other, then I think we have a good rationale for why they crashed.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Raymond Szymanski. When we come back, we're going to talk more about his book, and later on in the show, we're going to talk about his appearance on Ancient Aliens. Come on back to Radio Wasteland.
Secret.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi. I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR, 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Are you looking to move on up to the east side? The east side of Reading has many, many things to offer, including the Palomar Experience. It's Highland Park in the beautiful east side of Reading. These high-quality luxury homes brought to you by Palomar Builders feature many luxury amenities, including green technology like radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency, quick-recovery gas water heaters, energy-efficient LED and fluorescent lighting, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, and programmable irrigation systems. Exceptional exterior and interior features, including designer kitchens with granite slab countertops, stylish islands in some plans, and walk-in pantries with door. And the east side is close to shopping and to freeway access. To find Highland Park, just go north on Churn Creek, look for the signs to make a left on Bodenhammer, and you'll find the Palomar Experience. Highland Park, come see the model home. Contact Debbie Morgan from Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127. For Palomar Builders, Highland Park.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, award-winning author and researcher, Raymond Sidzmanski. We're talking about his newest book, 50 Shades of Grey's Evidence of Extraterrestrial Visitation to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Beyond. So, did you see anything there or, you know, that made you sort of believe beyond hearsay that this is definitely here? That there is definitely something here that they're sort of keeping an extra lid on.
I think that working for the Air Force Research Laboratories for my entire career, made me privy to the amount of expertise, equipment, and infrastructure that we have, not only at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, but at other units that were scattered around the world. So if you just apply some very simple logic and you take the information that was given to us by the people who have given us immutable factoids, I can come to the conclusion that certainly something did go on at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base with respect to the Roswell crash wreckage and possibly other recoveries. Now, how do I come to that conclusion? Now, if you think about it, let's say that it's 1947, the Air Force has picked it up, they have no idea what it is, it presents these very unusual properties of strength and flexibility and that type of thing. So, in 2017, the Air Force Materials Laboratory, which has gone through many name changes, is now a directorate of Air Force Research Labs. In 2017, they celebrated 100 years of being at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So they already had 30 years of experience by the time the Roswell crash wreckage was recovered. And they were a world-class center of expertise on material science. So if you found this unusual material somewhere in the desert and you wanted to know maybe what its elemental composition was or a lot more about it so you could understand it, the only place in the world in the government that you would take it is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
I now, see. It was definitely
the materials director.
It was definitely the only realistic place for something like that to go at the time.
The only realistic place pretty much in the world to take it would be the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And Wright-Patterson had more laboratories at the time, other expertise. They had the expertise. If they didn't, they could hire a contractor, and they could do it pretty simply because they had a large contracting organization. So, and this happened many, many times, you know, in the public eye, where they go, well, we need a guy who's a meteor expert. So they hire him, and he contracts him. J. Allen Hynek, he was a contractor. They brought him on board to help them look at the Blue Book things. So they had money. They had contracts. They had facilities. They had equipment. They had absolutely everything that you would possibly need in order to investigate this. And if it was only a weather balloon in 1947, why did they spend the next 22 years investigating the phenomena? They could have just dispatched it, saved themselves tons of money and time, and go, it's a weather balloon, and we don't have to look into it. But that's not what happened. They spent another 22 years, and those guys from FTD who ran it, they had access to all the expertise, not only at Wright-Patterson, but within the Department of Defense to help them get through their investigations.
Yeah, it leads me to think that they probably didn't keep too much of a lid on it because their abilities at compartmentalization was just, you know, you're dealing with military, you're dealing with people who are trained to follow orders and loyal, and then you're dealing with scientists who are used to working on very small tidbits, and they were probably able to compartmentalize quite a bit of this and get some answers without too much concrete evidence going out the door, I guess.
They would bring it in, hand it to a scientist, and say, look, here's a piece of material. We want you and your staff to tell us everything that you can possibly tell us from a materials expert perspective, and you're going to write us a report. How long do you need to do this? Okay, they say 3 months. Fine, we'll be back in 90 days. 90 days, they hand over the report. They tell them, look, this was top secret. You can't say anything to anybody. This piece of material was never here, and you never gave us a report. So with that as background and my understanding of what capabilities we had, you know, eventually I wanted to find out if the rumors that I heard were true. And so I started to read every book I could on UFOs and that type of thing, talk to everybody I could, associated with Wright Pat. And eventually I start doing field research, and I wanted to find out, is this BS or not BS, all this stuff I've been hearing? And I honestly did not care which way the answers fell as I did my investigation. I started doing field research in about 2008, so about 10 years ago. And I went out there with an open mind, and I said, I don't care if I prove all this stuff to be false. I just got to know. So I basically went on this worldwide quest to find new witnesses and new experts and poke my fingers into these stories of Exeter and Travis Walton and Rendlesham Forest and Wright Patterson. And I put everything that I think I knew that was interesting and entertaining and illuminating into the book, 50 Shades of Grey's.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question. Why do we assume that it's Grey's? Why Grey's?
Well, you know, the Grays are the most commonly reported extraterrestrial entity that supposedly have come in contact with humans. You know, there's people that report insectoids and reptilians and Nordics and others. But the most common type appear to be this worker bee that have the small heads. They're 4 foot tall. They've got large almond-shaped slanted eyes. And so when I was coming up with the title for the book, I wanted to make it catchy, and yes, I admit it was a play on that famous, you know, book about who knows what, sexual arousal, the 50 Shades.
Right, yeah, of course. I think it's a very clever and fun name for the book, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you again.
So, you know, for... we're not too far off from the commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about ancient aliens before we're done with the interview. So maybe you can tell our audience now a little bit where they can find the book, where they can get a copy, and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's great. The book is easily found on Amazon. You can get it paperback, or you can buy a electronic version, a Kindle version. Recently, the National Air Force, the National Museum of the United States Air Force, huge deal for me, they started selling my book. So if you come to Dayton and you come to the best air and space museum in the world, you'll find my book there. And in a little special deal, I also have a bookstore. I just took them under my wing. I made friends with the owner. And you can go to Fenton, Michigan, and go to the Open Book. It is the only bookstore in the world that I allow to sell my book. And that's just something I decided to do. Otherwise, Amazon or the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force.
All right. And, you know, before we go to break, you were saying that you set out to sort of prove this right or prove it wrong. I assume that you came up with that, yes, there was, you're convinced that there's something to this. Let's see if we have time to answer this. Why do you think they were even here?
Why do you think?
Yeah, so they're flying over, they crash, and, you know, why do we think that they were even here to crash? Do we have some – I realize it's speculative.
Yes, I'm working on a second book, and that book is now in editing, and it has to deal with people who claim to have contact. And I'm collecting physical evidence, clinical evidence, photographic evidence, and their narrative. And I'm putting it together because it's like I brought one foot in, now I put the other foot in. And I wouldn't have done this secondary research on this abduction phenomena had I not convinced myself that indeed we've been visited. So that book hopefully will be out in the next several months.
Great. Yeah, that's always been a question of mine. Yeah, that's always been a big question of mine, like a question of intent, because, like, I see all the evidence and I see all the stuff, and it definitely makes sense to me, but the question of intent has always hovered over me, and that's where I really want the answer, you know, because some people view it as fear, and some people view it as something wonderful, and... I don't know. All right. We're coming up on our commercial break here. You're listening to our guest, Raymond Szymanski, as we're talking about Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But when we come back, we're talking about ancient aliens.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton-Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Paul Zoet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
With the changing of seasons here in Northern California, it may be time for a change for you and your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to see Salt Creek Heights. Salt Creek Heights is located on the west side of Reading along Eureka Way, just minutes from the heart of downtown Reading. The new luxury homes from Palomar Builders are truly that. And prices start at just $4,038. Salt Creek Heights is 273 acres of land that supports residential units to a variety of single-family home sites. When you walk into a home in Salt Creek Heights, you'll see the exceptional quality and beauty that Palomar Builders builds into every home. Many lots have mountain and open space views, and all homes come with an entry-level solar system. As they say, seeing is believing. Make plans to see the model home. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 941-9534. To find Salt Creek Heights, take Eureka Way to 299 West and North on Buenaventura Boulevard. Palomar Builders, building your memory.
Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Raymond Szymanski, author and researcher. We've been talking about his book, 50 Shades of Greys and Evidence of Aliens at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, but now I'm hoping to talk to you a little bit about your appearance on Ancient Aliens. I think it's one of those things that the entire alien research community loves and loathes at the same time, because, you know, we all sort of hold these things so precious to us. How was that? And then for one, the episode is on Area 52. I haven't seen this. What is Area 52? Maybe we should start with that.
Everyone, I think, is aware of Area 51. You know, supposedly that's where they kept the aliens originally, and it's the base, secret base, that's formerly clustered there with all the nuclear stuff and the nuclear testing, and it's about 90 miles north of Las Vegas. So Area 52 is a generalized term that was created to suggest that perhaps the things that were in Area 51 may not be there anymore, that now it's just a red herring that's going to attract all the attention, when really it's no longer necessary to have all the research for the extraterrestrial materials and the occupants in one location. So they suggested that perhaps places like Wright-Patterson Air Force Base are actually conducting part of the research that people think is in Area 51. And I would have to agree with that type of a theory. And the reason I would do that is, you know, recently, this is the last handful of years, the Congress decided that Air Force Research Lab should collect all of their units from around the country. And we had a unit at Eglin Air Force Base, one at Hanscom Air Force Base, Mesa, Arizona, Brooks Air Force Base, several Air Force bases around the country. And they said, it doesn't make sense to have all these little units. We should put Air Force Research Labs in one location, and we're going to build new buildings, and we're going to put it at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And that's exactly what they did. Several beautiful, well-appointed, well-equipped buildings. They moved as many bodies as they could from all the different units around the country, consolidated them there at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now, we still do have a few satellites, but they're skeleton crews compared to what we had before. So now you've taken all of your research scientists and engineers, and you've enhanced the probability that they're going to crosstalk, or we can pull this guy in and that guy in when we need an expert opinion, and we don't have to bring them in from around the country or from London or Japan anymore. We just walk up the street and go, hey, we need you to look at this. So do I think that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is equipped to do that kind of research? I definitely think they are, for all the reasons we mentioned before. Security clearances, money, contracting, expertise, yada, yada. So what they did for this episode is they floated that balloon, and they asked me the questions, the answer I just gave you. Was it my opinion that Wright-Patterson could possibly be participating in this type of research?
Yeah, it makes sense that, you know, because my initial thought was, okay, Area 52 is a network, the concept of it being a network, and that made sense. But in this sort of day where digital communication is so easily tapped and stuff like that, it seems like you would still want to have everybody in a central location so that you can control that information better.
True, and the expediency, you know, of getting a local expert in there speaks to one of the reasons why Congress wanted everybody. And it's not for the alien problem; it's just for, you know, our national defense problems. Having everybody in one geographical location certainly enhances the capabilities of Air Force Research Labs. There's no doubt about it.
All right, let's
no matter what they're doing.
Let's get a little speculative. How much of the government do you think is actually aware of this? Obviously, the government is aware of it on some satellite level, on the Air Force level, on that level. But how much of the government do you think is aware of this? Like, do you think the president is aware of it? Do you think senators are aware of it? Or is this sort of like a black ops military thing?
You know, my study and my research leads me to believe that there's a small unit, you know, one dozen, two dozen individuals at the very top, and they're this little ancillary unit out there, and their job is to push forward our understanding of whatever this phenomena is. And they have money, and they're probably black budgeted, so it really can't be investigated. But it's a small group at the top. And what they do is they'll bring in a piece of material, you know, like could have been done starting in 1947, and say, hey, we want you to tell us everything about this that you can. Give us a report, and then afterwards, you know, we're going to go away. They could do that with anything. They could do that with metal. They could do that with a piece of flesh, for example, if we had an actual occupant of those ships. So what happens is because of the need to know, that is always the overriding consideration. If you don't have the authorized need to know, they don't have to tell you. They can simply direct you to do something and say, you don't have the need to know what this is, and you're sworn to secrecy. And that's what keeps the lid on it. So does the president know? I don't think so. I think maybe Harry Truman knew, but after that it was kept secret. Clinton wanted to know. He says they wouldn't tell me. Reagan wanted to know. They wouldn't tell him. He appealed to the United Nations about, in that speech, you know, don't we already have an enemy that will unite us? Carter reported a UFO. He wanted to know. They wouldn't tell him. So don't have a need to know. Doesn't matter if you're the president or not. If you don't have the need to know, you probably won't find out.
Okay, well, we don't have too much more time here, but this brings me back to my question of intent. And so is it the results of the Project Blue Book where they were basically saying, like, if people find out about this, they're going to go crazy? Do you think that's kind of the reason why people don't know, why it's not public knowledge? Or do you think it's,
well,
like, military national security or...
Imagine if it's a problem you couldn't solve. Okay, tomorrow I say you've got to do brain surgery. Well, you know you're not qualified to do brain surgery. These things, whatever they are, exhibit a technology that we can't match and don't understand. So the best thing for them to do is deep six the problem so we as a population don't worry about it. Because, you know, the government, they are supposed to take care of everything. Well, it's a problem that I don't think they fully understand, that they can handle. These objects penetrate our defenses and skies and whatever with impunity. So the best thing really, I think, in their thinking is let's just make this thing go away and we'll work the problem in the background in the secret and hope to God someday we come up with stuff that will help us understand what it is and maybe if we go to war with these people, you know, we can equalize what they have.
All right. Well, Raymond, we're right here at the end of the show, and I just want to cover real quick. I guess you have a book signing coming up in October?
Yeah, I have a number of events, but I wanted to plug the one. It's locally. It's in Waynesville, Ohio. It's at their library, and I'm going to make a left turn because I'm going to deal with the paranormal and the military. And Wright-Patterson actually has a long history of paranormal occurrences, not the least of which is possible visitation by aliens that were brought here through the year. So I'm going to cover that, and it's going to be a little bit different from my normal presentations. So I hope to invite everybody out to see it.
Sounds great. And can you give our listeners maybe some place where they can find out?
I have a Wix site. You can go to It's a UFO Wix site, or just type in 50 shades and the word UFO, 50 shades and UFO. I promise you will get directed to my material and not that smutty book.
Awesome. I have really enjoyed having you on. Great stuff. I hope you come back on when your next book comes out. I would love to pick your brain about that one, too. You have been an awesome guest. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I'm certainly looking forward to another visit with you all.
All right. You've been listening to Raymond Szymanski here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7.